Thank you so much, and we're very fortunate today to have Miss Amy Brooks with us. She's been here before. She's going to come and sing. She is from the Cool Springs Baptist Church, and thank you, Amy, for being with us. Please come and sing for us.
Well, good morning, Hunt Springs. How y'all doing this morning? It's good to see y'all. It's been a while, but it's good. I hope and pray that each and every one of you have been doing well since the last time I come and shared with you. I'm going to sing a couple of songs this morning. And so I hope that through the power of the Holy Spirit that it blesses you. And I'm so thankful that we can come together and just praise the Lord. And it's a wonderful feeling that when you can go to the church and that when you walk out of the church that you've been to church. And I'm thankful for that because, you know, the world that we're living in now, the only source and hope that we have to trust in is Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. My dad and I were talking last night, and he said, at the end of the day, all you have is Jesus. And again, he said, you know, he is the author and finisher of my faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith. But I hope the songs that I share with you this morning blesses you. And once again, thank y'all for having me again. It's good to see you. Familiar faces this morning. So may God bless each and every one of you. One of these days, I'm gonna leave. One of these days, I'm going home. I'm going to take my heaven's journey. I'm going to rest beneath heaven's blue dawn. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus Christ leading in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm going to leave this world behind me. Going with the devil, can I find me? I'm going higher, higher, stepping on the clouds, going past the moon, the stars and the planets. I'm going to walk on the Milky Way way when old Gabriel gives that signal. I'm going to leave forever to stay. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise and meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me. Go where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise and meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me. Go where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, 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 higher. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me. Go where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds, higher. Stepping this morning, Hunt Springs, I think we're going to be stepping on those clouds sooner than we ever been. I'm singing another song called Pray Now. And I tell you what, if your prayer life in the last year, few months, haven't been strengthened while we're going through, get it right. Thank you. There are things in every journey that can break us. There are burdens that we cannot do our knees. But it's in these moments when our faith gets weakest that we simply have to trust and believe.
Thank you, Miss Amy. Praise the Lord for that. It's wonderful. If it didn't fire you up, you would wait. About the best I can say. Well, we're very fortunate today, as I said, to have Brother Terry Pleasance with us. He was the former pastor of the Haywood Independent Baptist Church in Moncure. And we're very fortunate, and we're looking forward to a wonderful time in the Lord. We're going to ask him to come now and preach the word to us. Brother Terry.
Good morning, Hunt Springs Baptist. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. Make sure you wait before I get started. It's always good to be with you. It's been a while, probably full COVID, I guess, since I've been here. But I always thank Wesley for the opportunity to fill in for him when he's gone and appreciate him trusting me with his pulpit. If you have a copy of God's Word today, we'll be Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Amy, thank you for that. Those songs, as Brother said, if they didn't get you excited, your wood's wet. That's for sure. I see some familiar faces, too. It also comes in the carpenter shop sometimes. So good to see you somewhere besides the store. Mark chapter 5, title of message today, Jesus is the great physician, healer of the hurting, and the giver of peace. Jesus is the great physician, healer of the hurting, and the giver of peace. There are many things in life that people need. Sometimes we have needs that just seems to have no answer for, but oh, there is an answer, church. When all else fails, we realize that the answer to whatever we need in life is going to be found in Jesus Christ. Now, sadly, many times God has to bring us to the end of ourselves so that we can see just how amazing, powerful, and loving God is. In our text today, we're going to find a dad. He's very concerned about his little girl. Now, we always need Scripture to reveal truth to us, but also to give us a good balance. And Mark 5 does just that. In verses 1 through 20, which we will not look at today, Jesus heals and delivers the man known as the demoniac. He was just pure evil, wreaking havoc on everything. And so Jesus shows us that just right off in the first 20 verses that he's the one who can give peace, no matter what the circumstance or situation in our lives may be. Whether it's a demon-possessed man, or the woman with an awful disease that we're going to look at today, or a little girl who has died, Jesus, get this, Jesus has the authority and power to rescue, deliver, and to save. Therefore, Jesus is the peace giver. He is the giver of peace. You may be here today and you may not have a peace in your life. It may be because you're separated from God. Christ. You maybe need to trust him today. Just because we go to church and you've been in church 30 years doesn't mean that everybody's saved. But you may be saved and that's not an issue. You know if you die today you're going to go to heaven. But there's a situation, a circumstance, some hurt, some pain in your life that you need peace with. Jesus is the peace giver. Here's why. Mark chapter 5 gives us three situations that seem to be incurable and hopeless. Oh, but when Jesus shows up, church, everything changes because Jesus is Lord over the demons, he's Lord over disease, and he's Lord even over death. Jesus heals the hurting, and he's the giver of peace. Here's the first point. When trouble comes, Jesus hears our cries for help. When trouble comes, Jesus hears our cries for help. Now, this whole passage here is sandwiched between suffering and death. We begin with a man named Jairus and his dire situation. But his situation gets interrupted by a woman with a suffering from an awful disease. And then we end back up with Jairus' situation. So the question is, why go from one to the other back to the other? Because God wants to tie these two situations together and make the comparisons, and he's going to get glory for all this. Jesus cares for people when they're in trouble. Jesus is almighty, powerful God. My point right here is that we need to understand what's impossible for you and me, Jesus has authority over that. He has authority over that. And so we need to come to Jesus with our request. We need to come to Jesus with our request. Let's pick up in verse 21 through 23. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him. And so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and on seeing him, fell at his feet, 23, and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." We see large crowds are still following Jesus everywhere he goes. This man named Jairus, he's the leader of the synagogue. He comes to Jesus. Jairus will be a man of well-respected. A man of status, okay? But right here in this passage, we see Jairus shows great humbleness. He fell down at the feet of Jesus. And it says that he's earnestly begging Jesus. The word there, implore, means to plead or beg. But it also means to call to one side. So Jairus is saying, Jesus, will you come along beside of me and help me, Lord? Why is he asking this? Because his little daughter needed a touch from Jesus. And so in this passage, we see a daddy's breaking heart because his little girl is sick to the point of death. She's dying. In fact, Luke chapter 8, verse 42 tells us it's his only daughter. A daddy has a breaking heart. My point right here is, no matter who we are, no matter what our circumstances might be, when we come to Jesus, we must come to him in faith alone. You have to come to him in faith alone. Look at verse 23 and 24. And Jairus implored Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come, lay your hands on her so that she'll get well and live. And he, Jesus, went off with him. And a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. This man, Jairus, synagogue official, he came to Jesus believing. I put emphasis on that word believing. He came to Jesus believing that Jesus could do for him what no other person could possibly do. And this man's great humbleness is a big, big example for me and you to follow. He humbled himself. He didn't care about his status. He humbled himself at the feet of Jesus because his little girl was sick and dying. Now I want you to notice that his request was to the point and delivered with urgency. He didn't beat around the bush, okay? But I also want you to notice Jesus' response. It was immediate and simple. It says Jesus went with him. And so in Jairus' mind, and maybe if we were Jairus in that day, it would be like, yes, everything's falling into place, just like clockwork. Well, that is until the unexpected happened. Jesus and Jairus get delayed. And so Jairus' thought would be something maybe like your thought or my thought. Say, what? Ain't no way. Really? I knew this is too good to be true. We're never going to make it on time. My little girl's going to die before we ever get there. That brings us to the second point. When we encounter poor health, Jesus is closer than we think. When we encounter poor health, Jesus is closer than we think. Now these verses right here that we're getting ready to address cannot, I emphasize, cannot be fully understood apart from two things. The urgency of the two situations, Jairus and this woman we're getting ready to talk about, but also it cannot be fully understood without knowing something about the ceremonial laws of the Hebrews. The Hebrew ceremonial laws about being ceremonial unclean. If you're suffering, you can come to Jesus. If you're suffering today, you can come to Jesus. Pick up in verse 24. And Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all but had rather grown worse. 27. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. I want you to visualize with me for a moment. The crowd is pressing in on Jesus. And this unnamed woman shows up. She's had a blood issue for 12 long, agonizing years. You see, that makes her ceremonially unclean. The possibility, Scripture doesn't say this, it's a possibility she could also be unmarried and childless. Again, Scripture doesn't say this. But if that's the case, she's had to endure two more cultural curses of her day during these 12 years. Because a woman who was unmarried and had no children, the people looked upon her that she was cursed by God because of the sin in her life. Scripture doesn't say that, just a possibility. Here's what Scripture does tell, what we just read. It says that she suffered greatly. She'd been through many doctors. She spent everything that she had, and she wasn't better, she was worse. But here's a key point right here now. Key point, verse 27, it says, she heard about this man named Jesus. That's all. She didn't know him. She'd never encountered him, never been around him. But she just heard about this man named Jesus who could heal people. And she, just like Jairus, believed. Emphasis here. She believed. If she could just touch Jesus' clothes, she'd be healed. Now, this idea came partly from pagan superstition. And so, yeah, her doctrine might have been flawed some. But you cannot deny this woman believing what Jesus could do. She just heard about him. She never encountered, never touched him, never talked to him. She believed. You cannot deny her believing. You cannot deny her strong faith in this man she's never met before. Here's my application for us. You and I can come to Jesus with our request, and he will honor our request, Even if our faith is not perfect at the moment, as long as, this is crucial, as long as He is the object of our faith. The situation, the hurt, the pain don't need to be the object. Jesus has to be the object. You come with your request and let Him be the object of your faith. And just like this woman, we must come to Jesus in faith alone. You have to come to Jesus in faith alone. Pick up in verse 28. For she thought, if I just touch His garments, I will get well. Church, that's some faith right there. That's belief. 29. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Verse 30. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in Himself that power proceeding from Him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? 31. And His disciples said to Him, you see this crowd pressing in on you? And you say, who touched me? 32. And He looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. 34. And He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Again, visualize with me hundreds of people pressing in on Jesus. But one woman, we're going to see that she was both spiritually and physically desperate. She just did the unthinkable and unacceptable. Jesus is a rabbi. She's ceremonially unclean because of the blood issue, and she touched His clothing. That's a no-no. That's off limits. You see, she really at that time didn't care about the ceremonial laws of the Hebrews. She wanted to be healed, and she believed in Jesus. What's the result? She reached out and she touched Jesus with nothing but faith. That's all she had. Nothing but faith. And what was the result? She was instantly healed and she knew it. Think about the incredible joy she had. For the first time in 12 long agonizing years, she was well, she was whole, and she knew it. Jesus had healed her body because that's what the great physician often does. Now, Jesus also realized immediately that some of His power had left Him. Why did He realize that? Because He had just taken on her sickness and her uncleanliness and had given her His health and His purity. And then it says, verse 30, it says, Jesus turns quickly and says, who touched me? And the disciples in verse 31 would have responded just like Terry would and probably like you would. Really? You see this crowd? It could be anybody. But Jesus looked. He looked with His penetrating gaze. He saw the woman. And terrified, this woman fell down at the feet of Jesus, just like Jairus. You start seeing comparisons here. She humbled herself at the feet of Jesus. And she confesses everything. The text says that she told Jesus the whole truth. Then in verse 34, listen to what Jesus said. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in. What, church? Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. That little phrase there, verse 34 is loaded and packed. This little phrase, made you well, in the Greek it literally means made whole. And it's the very same word that's used that means to save your soul. You see, when you break this verse down, it says, your faith has made you well, whole, go in peace, and be healed of your affliction. She came to Jesus for not for who He was. She came to Jesus for physical healing, just like everybody else did in that day. But this woman was also healed spiritually. She was made whole. Now, I want you to note the tenderness of Jesus in verse 34. He called her daughter. You know that's the only time, I emphasize, only time Jesus addresses a woman as daughter. And now, church, we have two daughters in our story. We had Jairus' little girl as a daughter, and now we got this woman that Jesus says is my daughter. I want you to also note something very crucial. Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Not your touching my clothes, not your pagan superstition, but your faith. You see, Jesus felt the touch of her faith. He saw her faith, and he honored her faith. Here's my point and application for us. Jesus may be helping someone else with a very urgent need, but he is never, ever too busy to help someone else who's hurting, and that might be you today. You could be hurting physically, emotionally, financially, whatever it might be. Jesus is never too busy to help someone else, especially if that person is determined, like this unnamed woman and like Jairus, humble like Jairus and this unnamed woman, and have faith in him like Jairus and this unnamed woman. He's never, ever too busy to come. But always remember that when you bring your request to Jesus, he must be the object of your faith. He must be the object of your faith. You remember Jairus, that desperate dad? He hasn't left. He's having to do something that a lot of us don't like to do. He's having to wait. Has he grown impatient? Probably so. But did his faith in Jesus increase when he saw this miracle that just happened? Most likely. Could he process much of what he just saw and witnessed? Probably not. But his faith and hope for his daughter definitely increased. That brings us to the third point. Jesus' authority and power conquers death. Jesus' authority and power conquers death. Now, let's just note some of the similarities we've seen. Jairus and this unnamed woman, they both knew Jesus could heal them. They both knew that they were unworthy because they both fell down and humbled themselves at the feet of Jesus. And they knew that Jesus could heal. And they believed that Jesus could heal. This unnamed woman just got what she wanted, but Jairus' situation, church, is getting ready to go from bad to worse. By now, Jairus would be probably just like you and I would. He's frustrated. He's worried. Sick. His little daughter is sick. She's at the point of death. This woman has been sick for 12 years. So Jairus is probably thinking like Terry might think, daggone it, she can wait another hour or two or three. My little girl is at the point of death. We ain't got time to wait. Jesus, we need to get there so you lay your hands on her and heal my little girl. We ain't got time for this. My point is, no matter how our circumstances look, no matter how grim they might look, we too still must believe in Jesus. Listen to 35 and 36. While Jesus was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" 36. But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid," what? "Any longer. Only believe." That's the third time I've put emphasis on believe. The first two reasons was Jairus believed, the unnamed woman believed, but Jesus said it in the word right here. Only believe. So Jesus gets interrupted a second time. He's been interrupted by the woman, now he gets interrupted by these people who came and gave him some bad news. Jairus' daughter has died. Jairus' hope suddenly just snatched away. My little girl's gone. If we hadn't waited, we hadn't got delayed, might be a different story right now. But then Jesus challenges Jairus in verse 36 to simply trust him. Jesus' words and thoughts to Jairus may have been something on this line. "Jairus, despite what your situation looks like right now, despite what the news just said, you know the sound, what you just heard, Jairus, I wasn't delayed. Jairus, I wasn't distracted. Jairus, I work in my time, not your time, not anybody else's time. And Jairus, I don't get in a hurry. Only believe, Jairus. Jairus, trust me and watch what happens." Here's my point. We can trust Jesus regardless of what other people think. We can trust Jesus regardless of what other people think. Let's pick up in verse 37. "And Jesus allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. 39, and entering in, he said to them, 'I make a commotion and weep. The child has not died, but is asleep.' And they began laughing at him. But putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was." Jesus takes his inner circle of disciples with him. They arrive at the house. They are met with the professional mourners of the day. These people went from place to place. Every time somebody died, that's where they showed up. They'd be weeping and crying loudly, wailing. Be quite a scene. In verse 39, if you'll note closely, Jesus rebukes them with a question. He said, "Why are you doing this?" But then he makes a shocking statement to them. He said, "She hasn't died. She's just asleep." What did they do? What does the text say? They laugh and ridicule Jesus. What does Jesus do? What does the text say? He kicks them out of the house. By Jesus. Here's my point. Listen up. If you decide to follow Jesus, or you are following Jesus, you're always going to have to deal with skeptics, because they're going to mock your faith, mock your God, and mock your Savior. Nevertheless, Jesus tells me in verse 36, don't you be afraid of that. You only believe, and you walk by faith with me. So Jesus enters the little girl's room with his three disciples and the little girl's parents. Verse 41 through 43. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talith kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the little girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given to her to eat. Church, Jesus just did the unthinkable in his culture. He is a rabbi. He just touched a dead little girl's body. No matter whether it's an animal or human being, a dead body, a dead animal, was considered ceremonially unclean. Jesus didn't always go by all the rules. He did what was right. He did what was good. Rules are good, but they don't mean you need to follow every one of them. Something can be lawful, but that don't mean it's right. I might get in trouble right here, but that's all right. Abortion is lawful, but it's not right. It's morally wrong. Jesus will always do what's good over what tradition says. He'll do what's good over man-made laws. He'll do what's right. Jesus touched a ceremonially unclean body. He says to her, "Get up, little girl." Literally in the Greek, I love this. I love how it literally reads, "Little lamb, arise." Little lamb, arise. Immediately she got up, she obeyed Jesus' voice. Mom and dad's tears of sorrow just quickly turned to tears of joy. And it says that they were all completely astounded at what they just witnessed. So in this story, let me give you some comparisons here. We have two females. We have two daughters, Jairus' daughter and the woman Jesus now calls his daughter. We have a number that's in common. The woman has suffered 12 long agonizing years with this blood issue of a hemorrhage. The little girl is 12 years old. That means the little girl was born the same year the woman began to suffer. You think God might have just had that to happen so he could bring these two stories together just at the right time in history? Both are nameless. Both are unclean. Both have impossible conditions to overcome, that they both encountered the healing touch of the great physician and were made well and made whole. Hallelujah, Christ Jesus. Here's my point. Yes, we can believe in and trust Jesus no matter what our circumstance or situation or pain or hurt might be. We can always trust Jesus. He says, don't be afraid any longer. Only believe. Mark 5, Jesus encountered a defiled, unclean man in verses 1 through 20. I'll challenge you too. Sometime this week, read those first 20 verses to tie into verse 21 through 43 so you can see all three of the stories and how they relate together. Verses 1 through 20, Jesus encountered a defiled, unclean man. Then a defiled, unclean woman touches Jesus, And then Jesus touches a defiled, unclean little girl. And he completely restored the defilement and uncleanliness and replaced it with his purity, church. That's what he does. I can't stand up here and tell you that he's going to heal every physical need that you have. I can tell you he'll heal you spiritually, though, if you only believe. He never promises that he'll heal everything that we go through physically. But he says, you believe in me, and you'll have eternal life. For the third time in Mark chapter 5, Jesus has given peace to the demon-possessed man. It says that this man fell down at the feet of Jesus too, so don't miss that if you read it. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus, in his right mind, clothed for the first time. Third time Jesus has given peace to the demon-possessed man, to the diseased woman, and to the dead little girl. And here's my point, only, and I put emphasis, only Jesus can give you true everlasting peace. If you're here today, you've never trusted him, would you trust him today to give you eternal peace? But if that's not a question, would you trust him with your pain, your situation, your hurt, whatever you might be going through right now? Jesus loves you. He cares for you. And you can come to Jesus with your request. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. There's no sin Jesus won't forgive. It doesn't matter how you're living right now. Come to Jesus. I just ask you, would you bring your request to Jesus today? Come to Jesus and bring your request today. Now, you need to remember that Jesus works in his timetable, not yours, not mine. And sometimes, I'll just be honest with you, you may find the same thing. I can't make sense of what he's doing. I don't know what he's up to sometimes. I simply have to trust and believe. And it's by faith alone. And please remember, if you bring your request to Jesus, he must be the focal point, the object of your faith. Amy's going to come now and do our invitation song. If God has spoken to you in any way, this altar is open if you want to come down here, or you can talk with your request right there in the pew. But let's all stand. Amy's going to give us the invitation.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible if you only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible when you trust in him. Only believe, only believe, when you trust in Jesus, just trust and believe. Only believe. Oh!